We had a wonderful afternoon. It's been a very beautiful day, and God has given us yet another opportunity to be here tonight, and I'm so glad that all of you are here. And I hope and trust that you will benefit from our time spent here together tonight as we reflect upon this subject. Don't let a bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. How many of you have ever had a bad day? Anybody? Anybody here never, ever have a bad day? There was a man one time who was sitting in a lounge staring at a large alcoholic drink when a large trouble-making biker came up to him. He grabbed his drink and he gulped it down in one swig. And then he asked the man who was sitting there, he said, "Now what are you going to do about it?" And all of a sudden, the man just burst out in tears. And the biker said, "Oh, come on, man." He said, I didn't think you'd cry. He said, "I can't stand it to see a grown man cry." And the man said, "Well, this is the worst day of my life. Been a horrible day. I guess I'm a complete failure. I was late to a meeting this morning, and my boss fired me. And when I came to the parking lot, I couldn't find my car. It had been stolen, and I don't have any insurance. I left my wallet in the cab I took home. My wife left me, and then my dog bit me. So I came to this lounge here to really work up the nerve to put an end to it all. I bought a drink and I dropped a capsule in it just to sit here watching the poison dissolve. And then you show up and drink the whole thing. But enough about me. How's your day going?" You know, in life, all of us have bad days. We do. Some that are worse than others. But sometimes in life, we have to realize we're not the only one. Everybody can have a bad day. They can. Ever had a bad hair day? Some people do. Some people have a lot of issues in life. I know one thing. Sometimes they happen just out of the clear blue when you think everything is going well. Maybe you're having a bad day today. But you can turn it around with the help of God. Isn't it nice to have friends? Paul and Silas in the Holy Scripture were having a bad day. They were on a missionary journey. They arrived in the city of Philippi that was named after Caesar Philip. Many, many years ago, that was on the coast of Caesarea. The event is recorded in the book of Acts chapter 16. And what had happened was that there was a certain woman in Philippi who was a fortune teller, and she had been possessed by a demonic spirit. And she just kept chanting day after day, "These men are the bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Imagine someone going through the streets of a city just saying that over and over and over again. Well, Paul cast the demonic spirit from her, then she lost her ability to tell the future. And when her master saw what Paul and Silas had done, they seized them and then they drug them out into the marketplace. And things go from bad to worse. They were brought before the magistrates, or this makeshift court. They were beaten and they were thrown in the inner prison where their feet were fastened in stocks, the Bible says. And it really was one of those days for God's servants, Paul and Silas. As I said, the whole account is given in Acts 16. 22 and following. The Bible says the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, They cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received, the scripture says in verse 24, such a charge thrust them into that inner prison, and he made their feet fast in the stocks, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard what they were doing. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Well, the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have taken his own life or killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, the message of Paul and Silas didn't stop there. Look what happens in verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, 12 o'clock, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and they rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. You know, sometimes in life, things get real tough for all of us. And sometimes, for those who claim to be children of God, it seems like it's worse than for those out in the world. You know, one of the most often asked questions in the religious world is, why is it that good people suffer and seemingly the evil get by with just about anything in the world? Sometimes it happens that way. And in the midst of all of that, God said in Psalms 46, be still and know that I'm God. Don't let your heart be overcome. Don't let it be overcharged. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Paul and Silas could have blamed God. Here they are on a missionary journey. Here they are teaching the will of God. They're trying to accomplish the mission that God had asked them to embark upon, and hands were laid on them by the church. And now all of this is happening to them. They could have asked why. They didn't. But the Bible says at midnight they started praising God and they started praying unto the Father, and the jailer heard what was going on. They realized that tough times don't last and that tough people really do. They realized that even though they were having a bad day, they did not have a bad life. Someone has appropriately said the only difference between a bad day and a good day is one's attitude, and that really is true. It is. It's a matter of how we look at life, and we have to turn our eyes upon Christ every day when we're going through these problems. And isn't that exactly what Paul and Silas did? When they were going through this great difficulty, they didn't know what they were going to do to them. They knew that they probably were going to be charged, and maybe they would spend some time, some length, of time in prison, but they didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, God intervenes, and this is a great lesson for us. Sometimes when we feel like that things are going awry for us, or that it's just not going real smoothly for us like we would like for it to go, we have to remember at that moment we need to start singing and praying unto God, offering praise unto our Father instead of lamenting the fact that we're having to go through what we have to go through, and to realize that in that moment God is well aware and that God often intervenes. borne out in the book of Amos chapter 5 in the Old Testament in verse 19. The Bible says, "You will be like someone who escapes from a lion," get this picture, "only to be attacked by a bear, or like someone who goes out into the safety of his own house, leans against a wall, and then he is bitten by a snake." Now, Amos had it all wrapped up, didn't he? I mean, he did. Maybe he had been there. He was a prophet of God, and many of the prophets in the Old Testament faced one trial right after another. And so he's trying to alert the children of Israel. It's going to be like that at times. You're going to have a bad day, but it doesn't mean you're going to have a bad life. For Psalms 5 and verse 12 says of God, David said, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield." Have you ever felt the shield of God? You may say, "Well, I'm not real sure if I have." I have felt the shield of God many times. Honestly. And more so than just feeling it is knowing that He shields us. Now, sometimes we go through a lot of difficulty in life, but I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever thought about the fact that God might have shielded you from a lot of other problems that you might have faced, or a lot of other trials, or something that is much worse than what you faced in your life every day? Psalms 121 says, "He is a shield on my right hand." He is a shield. Or Isaiah 26 and 3 says, "For thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee," or "because he trusteth in thee." You and I serve a big God. You know, it's hard for us to really put in perspective the magnitude of our Father who is in heaven. It is, isn't it? You and I are so small. We serve a humongous God. Just think about the majesty of God and what all our Lord does and how He hung the universe. He hung the stars. He made the sun, the moon to rule the night. And He suspends them in space. Nothing attached. And you and I are holding on to this earth through something that God invented called gravity. Gravity. Sometimes in our life, we face a lot of difficulties, as I said, a lot of issues in life. And there are times some things don't go real, real well for us. And the recent fires out in California, many of you probably have been reading about that. They've been going on for some time. Well, anyway, fire authorities out in California found a particular corpse in a burned-out section of a forest while they were assessing the damage that had been done by this forest fire. The deceased male was dressed in a full wetsuit complete with scuba tanks on his back, flippers on his feet, and a face mask. A postmortem test revealed that the man died not from burns, but from massive internal injuries. Dental records provided a positive identification, and investigators then set about to determine how a fully clothed diver ended up in the middle of a forest fire. It was revealed that on the day of the fire, the man went diving off the coast some 20 miles from the forest. And the firefighters, seeking to control the fire as quickly as possible, had called for a fleet of helicopters with very large dip buckets. Water was dipped from the ocean and emptied at the site of the forest fire. You guessed it. 1 minute, our diver was making like flipper in the Pacific, and the next, he was doing a backstroke in a fire dip bucket 300 feet in the air. Some days it just doesn't pay to get out of bed. When we're going through these difficult times, though, we have to remember that our big God is very well aware of where we are and what is going on. I like the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a rich, rich book. I've taught it many times, but it's a tremendous book. It has great lessons there. And Psalms 34 and 18 is one of them. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Have you ever noticed that? And you may be going through an issue tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why it is with people when they're depressed or when they're going through a state of depression or having difficult moments. They hate to see nightfall, but they love to see the morning come. And there's something about the freshness and the newness of the morning. I like to get up early in the morning. I like to see the sun come up. Audrey likes to see it come up about 9 o'clock in the morning. But I like to see it come up real early. I like daybreak. There's something unique about it. It is that freshness, and God has given us a new day. And like David said, this is a day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I'll be glad in it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Trust in Him, David said, for God is close to the brokenhearted. Oh, and then the book of Romans 8:28. Boy, what a powerful passage this is. For listen to what Paul says. For we know. Now, this is the same man who was incarcerated in prison in Philippi along with his cohort Silas. Now, Paul writes this. And by the way, listen to what he says. We know that all things God works out for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Isn't that a great thought? There are two ways Paul and Silas turned a bad day into a good day. And I want you to listen to this. I'm about to wrap this up, but these are important thoughts. Two ways they turned it into a good day. I guess you could say a good night. They did it, first of all, by prayer. They were praying at midnight. What would you do if you were suddenly thrown into prison because of your faith? What would you do? How would you react to that? What would your first reaction be? Well, it should be that we pray. Because that's exactly what they did. And we are told to pray in times of trouble. Your prayer can move the hand of God. And I'm going to tell you something. No force is greater than God. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. That is, God is greater than anyone in this world. And if I wanted to move the hand of anyone, it'd be the hand of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. God can move the hand of everybody else. As I said, bad days come. They are going to come. But sometimes we need those bad days, believe it or not, to help us really understand and have a great deal of gratitude in our heart for the good days. Everybody's been saying, boy, this is a good day. And I'm going to tell you something, it has been a beautiful day, hasn't it? Oh, we had some cold weather this last week, but that helped us appreciate today. Did me. Sometimes you just have a bad day. They happen. You don't intend for it to happen. You wake up in the morning, you think, oh, it's going to be a great, great day. And I've had that happen too. When I waken in the morning, sometimes early, and you think everything's going to go great today before nightfall, man, you're running all over the country. Now, that's never happened to me. And when life knocks you down to your knees, remember you are in the perfect position to start praying. That's true. And prayer changes things, starting with the one who offers the prayer. That's us. Sometimes we want God to change people. But you know what we ought to be praying? God, change me. Help me to change. Having a bad day. Well, put your hand over your heart. I think mine's still beating. Put your hand over your heart and you feel that. You know what that is? That's called purpose. You're alive. Several people died today. But you're alive. And you're alive for a reason. So don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know if I was in here this morning, Dwight, and you were telling me about the fact that Gary Bohannon had called. About 8 years ago, they had diagnosed him. Fred, I couldn't help but think about this because he had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And the doctor said, you won't live any more than 2 years. And you know what? Here I am today, not taking treatment. Here I am today, 8 years later, and my cancer is in remission. You think the hand of God wasn't involved in that? You better know it was. Prayer is a sin killer, a sick healer, a power giver, a victory gainer, a blessing promoter. Keep on praying, for you have something within your heart and within your relationship with God that much of the world does not have. Prayer does change things. We need to pray on purpose, and we need to pray for results. Sometimes the Bible talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availing much. Sometimes I think James was saying, you know what? God wants to know how bad you want it. The effectual, fervent prayer avails much. Paul and Silas prayed for results, and they saw the hand of God move. Men ought always pray, Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1, and not faint. Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows that your praying will limit him. Prayer is the best wireless connection to God. And there is a tremendous power in prayer. There is. And it's something that we all ought to remember. And so we ought to plug into that power. But something else Paul and Silas did quickly is that they praised God. They not only prayed, and you know what? We're not real privy to what they prayed about. The Bible just says they prayed and sang praises to God. We don't know what they prayed about. We don't know they were praying for those people who had incarcerated them. Were they really praying for themselves? Or they were praying for the church that they had been ministering to? But their prayer was heard by God. And why do you think that earthquake came? Notice this, what happens right after the prayer and the praise, an earthquake. They saw the hand of God move, and they were not the only ones who saw it. We have to praise God in the time of storm. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't feel like singing. You know what? When you don't feel like it, you need to sing anyway. Praise God anyway, not just during your good days, but when you're having a difficult moment and when you're going through downtime and when things are not working out well for you, you pray anyway. Praise the Lord at all times. We should. And in reality, most of the time, earthquakes are very damaging. Isn't this amazing? Nowhere in the Bible do you ever read anywhere else that an earthquake actually became a blessing. But this earthquake was a blessing. I had a terrible, terrible earthquake off the coast of Peru last night, 7.1 on the Richter scale. Did a lot of damage. But the earthquake that occurred in Philippi with Paul and Silas was not damaging, but it became a blessing. The cell doors are opened, and God's servant. You know why it was a blessing? Not because they were able to escape, but it was a blessing because they were able to teach the jailer about Jesus. they probably would have never had that opportunity otherwise. Paul and Silas sang, the prisons are shaken, the doors were opened, and now they are delivered. Do you realize that you and I may be in a prison of despair? As I mentioned this morning, we may be swamped with marital problems, financial problems, emotional problems, mental problems, emotional problems. Could be a number of things, spiritual problems. It all happens. But in the midst of all of that, we have to praise God. For praise is the language of faith. And we ought to be saying, God, give me the strength to face the storms of life. And always remember that praise plus prayer equals deliverance. That's why we read in 1 Chronicles 23 and 30, I stand every morning, and I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, David said, and forget not all of his benefits. Psalms 103 and verse 1. And then Psalms 50 and verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You were a child of God, and we must act like it. And we must let our light shine. Don't let it go on and off. This is the way many Christians live their lives. Their light's on for a moment, and it's off. But that's not the kind of life that God wants us to live. Only Christians can pray and praise God acceptably. And when we became Christians in baptism, one thing we did then that we can do now is pray and praise God. We must plead the blood of Jesus every day, even those of us that are Christians, and God takes time to listen to those who take time to pray and praise Him. God has a reason for allowing things to happen. It's a tremendous lesson, folks. We may never understand it, but His wisdom is greater than ours. My ways are higher than your ways, Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, but we will just simply trust in Him. We may not be able to see clearly the other side, but we know one thing, that we can see it through faith. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There is a power in prayer, and Paul and Silas found this to be true. God helped them turn a bad day into a good life. Can you imagine what their life would have been like had they not gone through that experience? Think about those that are floundering out in a prison of sin today. How unhappy they are. Aren't y'all happy tonight? I am. I'm tremendously happy tonight because we've been praising God today. Someone told me the other night, and I appreciate it so much, a new younger convert made the statement to me. He said, I'm just so sad when it's all over here on Sunday. I hate to go. Boy, isn't that the right spirit? Isn't that the spirit that all of us ought to have? Peter said to those who were floundering out there in their sin, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Let me ask you a question right now. Tomorrow you may have a bad day. Maybe today you didn't. I hope you didn't. But tomorrow you may have a bad day. But you can turn that into a good day. But are you prepared to do it? Only you hold the answer to that. If we can help you, let's stand and let's sing together.